Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the podcast today. Before we jump in, I would like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Those machines are sturdy. They will not break down. They were like my old Explorer. They would run. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's your one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's unlike anything out there. You know, you can join all these other courses, but I'm guarantee you don't get their cell phone number. You don't get one-on-one calls. You don't get, you know, hey, Tuesday, I need to call with you. That's what makes teachhoops.com different. We have everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Doesn't matter if you're youth, doesn't matter if you're high school, doesn't matter if you're college. We're here to help. We're here to mentor you through this great journey we call coaching. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Possibly, I'd still have to really – I wouldn't buy into it right off the get-go, I'll tell you that.
Right.
We prefer an intense man-to-man. I'm not huge on zone. I've had teams where I've had to run zone because they weren't very good in man-to-man. But if I have my preference, it's man-to-man.
What did you do in your AAU program?
Man-to-man. I straight man-to-man. My humble belief, again, is that in AAU, we've lost the understanding that it's development.
It is. I swear to God. So, it should be against the law to play zone. Like,
yeah,
at that age.
I've been pushing hard. Even when I was an AAU coach,
yeah, that's
I was
what
pushing
I meant.
Hard yeah. to eliminate zone and eliminate the press until the fourth grade, at least.
At least. It should be middle school probably. But, yes, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I was pushing for sixth grade, but they still haven't done it. Intensity is a staple of everything we do. That has to start at the top. You have to be intense from the top. And intense is so often, I believe, misunderstood. Intense doesn't mean angry. Intense doesn't mean in your grill. I don't believe that has to. Intensity is passion on fire, in my mind. You're literally taking your passion, you're upping it a level, and you're saying, I'm going to be the baddest son of a gun on the floor right now at this moment in the and then everything's a competition. So everything we do, every drill is a competition. There's a winner and there's a loser. And I believe that that's important because there's always a winner in life and there's a loser in life. And so it might be two push-ups, but there's a consequence.
Right. It doesn't matter what it is, to be honest with you. It doesn't. Yeah. Sometimes the loser has to say three nice things about the winner. I swear to God.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. As long as there's a winner and a loser.
Yes.
Yeah. The competition part is so important. I agree.
Consistency. This is, in my belief, one of the most important parts of a coach's repertoire is consistency. Our practices will reflect gameplay.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to dive into this a little bit because I've been doing a lot of practice stuff. So what do you mean by that?
So the intensity that I expect my players to play at in a game is the intensity that I expect them to practice at.
Okay.
If they feel like they're God's gift to a drill, and so they're going to half throttle through, they're going to probably hope they didn't do that. Really, it only takes one time. And then they realize, yeah, that's probably not a great idea. A lot goes with that as well is communication. All of the parts that we've already talked about, communication. I expect that in our practice, we're going to be communicating.
It's such a skill they're not good at too.
It's so bad. And like I tell my post guys, hey, is there a chance that I could get you to text the wing and let him know?
So I'm going to jump into practice. Because it seems like this is you're talking about a little bit here. How do you practice plan? Like when and where and how?
So every practice I have is scripted.
Okay.
There's some fluidity in it, but everything's done with a time.
And when do you do it in a day? When do you do your practice plan?
Oh, when I do my practice plans first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Okay. Because I'm always asking different coaches, if you could only pick three things at practice to do, what would they be?
Fundamentals, defense, intensity. Those would be the three things.
Okay. And how long do you tend to go?
So I broke it down the way that I do a practice. We're allowed 3 hours.
Okay.
Maybe the first couple of days during tryout will go that long. But typically, I want them in and out in 2.5 hours. No individual drill will ever go longer than 12 because I believe that they'll lose their attention.
Do you use your clock during practice?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And let me back up. It depends on the team because there are teams that I've coached that look up at that clock and think, oh gosh, I only have this much longer to do this drill. And so I've turned it on and I've turned it off.
Yeah, I get that. Do you have any hints for transitions between drills?
So I don't allow any walking. So everything's a jog to the next drill.
Okay.
And then what I do is, I have my captains on the team. They're the transition makers between drills. So it's up to them to determine the speed at which we're going to get into our next drill.
Okay. Okay.
So I share my practice plans with my captains. That's why I do it in the morning because I give it to them before they go to school. So that way they've got it and they know when we get to practice, this is what we're going to do. And this is what is expected of me.
Okay. Awesome. Great golden nuggets there. Perfect. Keep going. That's perfect.
Yeah, appreciate that. Discipline when needed is always with a ball. I'm not the guy that says line up and run suicides, whatever.
You can't call them those anymore, Code. Can't call them those anymore. You'll get sued. Yeah. They're fun runs. I call them fun runs. But yes,
fun runs, yes.
We do fun runs with the ball too. We always do. Yeah.
So everything's with a ball. I believe that. I don't want them to hate any aspect of it.
Right.
And again, I feel I don't have to have excessive discipline. It just has to be something to get their attention back and say, right. I'm not playing with this. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be where I have the whole team do 2 pushups.
Right.
You know, I have called a timeout when I've been in a game. I've called a timeout and we've done the fun runs in a timeout for a minute right there. And the other team's going, holy cow, that guy's crazy. But you know what? All of a sudden, we started rebounding.
Right.
We're down 15. We won the game by 12. And I never had to do it again. And so, again, that's being consistent, I believe. Our drills will be competitive with intensity. Again, there's a winner. There's a loser. And I expect that you're going to give me 150%. So intensity in that mindset is 150. Some people will say, well, isn't 100 the measuring mark? Yeah, if you want to be average. I'm not – okay with average, you know, that means that you're just getting by. And then we'll be purposeful about finding something each player does right. So for me, that's key. There's a lot, at least in some of the schools that I've coached in, like I was telling you before, I had 5 homeless kids on one team. They get told enough what they do wrong.
Right.
And I felt like for that instance, discipline through success, a great way to change their mindset. So every practice, we're going to find something that all of our players are doing right. We're going to congratulate them. Because when you get into that point where you're going to have to chew their butt and it's going to happen,
right?
They respect it because they know you come from a place of love versus a place of arrogance.
It's parenting 101. Like, I'm yelling at my son, but he knows at the end of the day that I'm not kicking him out of the house. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Point of love. Right? Yes. I agree.
Yeah. So charisma, and the definition of charisma is a rare personal quality attributed to leaders who arouse fervent, popular devotion and enthusiasm every practice. So people would say, well, do they have to be leaders? Everybody in life is a leader. Whether you're a leader in the moment, you're a leader in your home, you're a leader on the chess table, you're a leader in sports. Everyone should be built to be a leader, to be competent enough to be a leader. And I believe it is important to help each player have the confidence to build charisma. I like the little shake and bake on a basketball court. I like it if you're going to step in and come back, have a step back and smile.
Right.
I like that. Your eyes are up, you're seeing everybody on the floor, and you're not doing it to be arrogant. I'm okay with it.
Right.
I think it's confidence. I believe that if you have the five C's, you have what these kids love to call basketball swag. So in their term basketball swag, they're basically saying that they believe that they're the toughest, the quickest, the strongest, the best player on the court. I'm okay with having five kids on the court that believe that. I'm okay with having five kids on my bench.
We refer to it as you got street cred. You know, do you have any street cred? You know, because I teach some pretty tough kids, and it's like, if you got street cred, you got, you know, Michael Jordan's got street cred. You know, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I love that last answer. That's a good story.
That's a whole different story. I've only watched four of them, so don't. I mean, I lived it, but I've only watched four. I'm trying to like, it's like having a gallon of ice cream and saying that's all I get. I'm trying to slowly eat it over time, so enjoy it for a longer period.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
and then confidence without arrogance is key to mental toughness. So I believe that you have to have the confidence, but you don't have to have the arrogance. And if you can understand the difference between the two, that's what's going to keep your men or be key to driving your mental toughness and win those close games. And mental toughness is what's going to win the close games, in my opinion.
It is. It's that foxhole test, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm a lifelong learner. I believe that we can never, ever, ever stop learning. And so, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important that we receive and we share, I believe, as coaches, things like the books that I put on the slide in front of you, not with only each other as coaches, but with our players. We start out in the fall with a book that we're going to read as a team. And when they come to practice, they have a notebook. So every kid in our program has a three-ring binder. And they'll have notes from practice. They'll have keys to the plays that they'll write down after practice. And we're constantly looking at those every practice. And every practice, they have to have their three-ring binder with them. And the reason for that is it's no different than any class that they have in school. They're going to have a book that comes with it. Our basketball program is going to have a book that comes with it. And for me, that's one of, you know, being in an open district and having so many successful players come to our program, it was key that people understood that there was going to be accountability, there was going to be love, there was going to be teaching, and there was going to be training. And
I'm a big fan. That's a Bobby Knight steal, but I'm a big fan of the notebook. Even though I don't use it every day, even though self-reflection, I think that's a huge, you know, it's not that you go on Amazon, you can buy 15 of them for next to nothing, but these are all good books too. I've read all three of these. These are all, you know, really good books. Yeah.
I got that from Bobby Knight off of, what was that show, Coaching You?
Okay.
I think it was on ESPN anyways. Because again, if you're not a student of the game will pass you by.
Right.
And Pat Summitt was big on that. If you can't handle me, my expectations of you and the way that I'm going to coach you, because I am going to coach you hard, then you just as well walk out those doors right now. And that's what I believe is important. And so I would encourage you guys to always be a student of the game.
Yep.
And then there's my yeah, contact.
I'll put all for the people that are driving or jogging or doing exercise. I'll put all this stuff in the show notes so you can get a hold of Coach's Twitter handle and all that stuff. Awesome. Okay, Coach. I have some questions for you now. Now it's my turn.
All right.
So coaching philosophy, give me your coaching philosophy in paragraph form, not in book form, in paragraph form.
Very good. I believe that I'm going to be a leader and a developer of young men. It's first and foremost my mission to see young players be better in life than they are at the game of basketball. But while doing so, I have the opportunity to help them create memories that they're going to be talking 40 or 50 years from now. So
they will.
For me, that's my philosophy is developing the next generation.
What do you look for in a player?
I look for a can-do attitude. One thing that's not allowed for me in practice is the word can't. I don't allow it.
Okay.
And so if they have a can-do attitude, they're coachable.
What's the biggest challenge you have as a coach?
Parents.
There's a Bobby Knight quote. The best coaching job is at an orphanage. That's the Bobby Knight
quote. And I was sharing that with my wife because she was like, why would he say that? Well, because really you don't have to deal with parents.
And kids haven't changed. Kids haven't changed. Parents have changed. Kids haven't changed.
Parents have changed. Yeah, the kids don't change at all.
No.
And realistically, I found when you set the bar, you can set the bar as high as you want to for any kid. They're going to get there as long as you provide them the belief and the tools to get there. Now, they might think that they can't meet those when they get to the dinner table at night, but they come back to practice and realize they still have that opportunity. And so,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I 100 agree. How do you defend ball screens?
So, depending on the strengths and the qualities of the team, I like to fight over the top. I want to stay mano a mano if we're in a man set, especially.
And why? Why?
Because there's a few different reasons for it. One is resiliency, especially early in the season. I want to again reinforce the fact that they can defend anybody one on one if they choose to do it. And when they choose not to do it, they're going to go under.
That's the biggest from someone that's coached guys in the NBA all the way down to like Division III guys. It's all about if you can defend the ball. Like if you can't, that's the difference between a D3 guy and a D2 guy, or a D2 guy and a D1 guy, is really whether they can defend the ball. There's some foot speed, some size issues, but you can't. I mean, you don't play a lot of zone in the NBA. You got to be able to defend the ball. Like,
yeah.
If you can't, you got some issues. Let's dive here. I love this question. I always ask this question. So is there one moment in your coaching career that would be beneficial for the listeners to listen to, a success, a failure, something that would be a teachable moment to the listeners?
Absolutely. I love that question, actually. Don't think I've ever been asked it before. That'd be a great interview question.
It would be.
For people listening out there. The reality is, so we're in a district game down 15 going into half against a team we had beat twice earlier in the season. And I come into the locker room and I absolutely lose my mind. We're doing push-ups at halftime because I don't even know what to say
right
at this point, right? I'm thinking I got to think through this and I got to talk myself through this frustration. And it was frustration based on lack of try, lack of heart, lack of doing the little things. And so I came out of there and I was beyond intense. Well, this team comes back and it was a colorful halftime discussion. This team comes back and they win. One of the things, one of the players after the game, his mom came up to him and said, "Wow, what did Coach say to you at halftime that turned you guys around? And he said, Mom, you like Coach, right? And she said, well, yeah. He said, let's leave it at that. And so we went to practice, and I heard that from another player, right, who was telling me it, thinking that, ha, 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 right?
Right.
But it was a smack upside the jaw for me, because I thought, wow, that's not good.
Who you want to be represented as. Yes.
Exactly. And right. So.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Although we got the win isn't the most important piece of coaching, in my opinion.
No.
It's in 20 years, are they going to look back on at me and say he was a good coach? Or is he going to have stories like many of us have, like, good God, I'm just thankful I survived those 4 years in his program. And so it was important for me to understand this. And sorry for the long explanation on this.
Oh, this is great. It's
important for me to embrace this and understand it. It's okay to fail, because failure builds opportunity. And what that did to me was created an opportunity for me to come into the practice the next day with my entire staff there. They had no clue I was going to do this. My entire team there, all levels, varsity, JV, C, and whatever you have to politically correct, call the other team now. We had four teams. But I walked into that, into the gym, and I said, before we start practice tonight, I want to do one thing. I want to apologize, because I was out of line. When I was in that locker room at halftime, it might have motivated you guys, but fear shouldn't be your motivator to win. And you guys came out of that locker room with fear on your mind, and that's not okay. I'll tell you what, right then and there, everything changed for me. Still gives me goosebumps to this day. Everything changed for me then, because then I was accountable to them.
Right.
They understood I was real.
Right.
And several years past that now, one of my assistant coaches at the time came up to me, and he'd been in a few other programs now. He said, the one greatest thing that I've learned was that moment in time when you did that, you created relationships, you built relationships that will forever last a lifetime.
Right. That was a teachable moment. You've run businesses. I've run businesses. My brother's run $1 million business. I mean, he runs like a huge venture capital company right now. And, and before he got to that point, he had a lot of failures. Trust me. Yeah. Like, you know, Bill Gates did not be, I mean, you know, Bill Gates might not be the greatest example, but you know, there are a lot of failures in Apple. There's a lot of failures in Amazon. There's a lot of failures in all these guys before they actually reach what they got to. And it's the same in life. You know, I've failed as a coach lots of times, but I've learned from every one of them. So hopefully I don't do it again. I think that's a great,
you're not going to know true success. You're not going to know true leadership until you've tasted failure.
Yeah. And it's that growth mindset. It's the thing people are talking about, but it's true. It's like you learn from that stuff. As long as you're not blaming people. What do you think the biggest change in basketball has been last 20 years, 15 years?
I think that the biggest change in basketball has been the commercialization of basketball. It has become so commercialized that I don't think you'll ever take the life lessons and the bonds and the building of all of that away from the game, but they've added a level of flamboyancy that I think could easily be removed from the game and still be a quality product.
Oh, I think so too. All right. So I'm going to do my rapid fire. So these are like they're just tend to be quicker questions. Hold on. I'm getting older and I'm denying my readers at this point. I'm denying I need them, but
I probably need them.
For all the old people out there, they can sympathize with me. If you could change one thing about basketball, what would it be and why?
I would get it back to believing in each other and believing in the people.
Okay. What's your favorite brand of basketball? Literally the ball you play with.
Bodden.
Why?
Because it has a great contour to the leather, and it's got, when you're, because I spin the ball in my, in off the floor when it, and I'm always looking for the lace, and it's just got a great feel on the lace.
Okay. You're one of the few that has probably gotten the least amount of votes of anybody I've asked.
Is really?
That, yeah, I think so. I think that's probably the loser at this point. A lot of Rock, a lot of Evolution, a lot of Spalding.
Yeah.
So I'm just, yeah, just, that's good. That's why I asked the question. One word to describe your ideal player.
Passionate.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be and why?
I would go to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And the reason I would go to the Super Bowl is because you have a lot of different people with a lot of different passions, and you've got two teams down there fighting it out, mano a mano, and it's just you're going to war.
You answered that question fast. That tends to be one of the harder questions for coaches. That you answered that quicker than most people. So you knew, wow, you know what you want to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. Do you have any superstitions?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm not a superstitious guy.
Okay. What's your favorite pregame meal?
So I'm a meat and pasta and corn guy.
Okay.
I'm a steak, pasta, corn.
Okay. One skill not being taught in today's game.
Toughness, I believe.
Okay. One thing you do to relax.
Jeep. You... to go jeeping.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of motorcycle do you have?
I got a Harley.
Okay. Good. Then we're done. If you were going to say not Harley, then we're going to have a discussion. If I was single,
I go on a Harley ride every Friday.
If I was single, I'd have. If I was single and didn't have any responsibilities, I'd probably have a Harley. But
yeah,
that's a whole different world. Yeah, good. You have a motorcycle. You don't have a fake motorcycle. I appreciate that.
Oh no.
Okay, from Wisconsin guy. All right. One coaching technique you consider important?
Vulnerability.
Okay. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
Michael Jordan.
Ooh, where?
I saw him when they were playing the Sonics in the conference playoffs.
Okay.
Back when he was going against the glove. That was before the night before.
Who was on the glove. Was that Sigma? Who was on the Sonics at that point?
That was the glove. That was so Gary Payton.
Okay.
The Rain Man camp. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, Gary Payton. Okay, I remember that team. Okay. Again, old guys talking, so just ignore us. Best player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
He's got like 99.9% of the votes. Your favorite drill?
Cincinnati Eights.
Okay. Can you describe that?
Yeah. So my players don't always love it, but you start out on the corner of the baseline. You sprint to half court. Defensive slides across. Sprint to the other baseline.
Yep.
Defensive slide across. Back pedal, defensive slide, back pedal, block the baseline.
And what's it called?
Cincinnati 8. So you put 8 minutes on the clock, and you do that for 8 minutes.
They got to be dead after 8 minutes.
Ooh, boy, yeah. Yeah, it definitely sets the tone for your season. One of my first tryouts I ever did, I had them do those with folding chairs across the middle of the court, and they carried the folding chair across.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I had 16 kids throw up at tryouts.
That's all. That's okay.
That was a private school, not a public school.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Realizing that I had to learn from others.
Okay. Best game you've seen in person?
The best game that I've ever seen in person was probably Portland and San Antonio at the Moda Center.
When?
That would have been last year. Okay. Trying to remember. I don't remember.
You know, Wesley's my guy. Wesley Matthews. I coach Wesley Matthews. You remember Wesley?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool. That's something you'll never forget.
Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, I'm glad he's a Buck now. I thought they had a chance to win it this year, too. Don't think they do now because no one's going to win it. Favorite quote?
Favorite quote would have to be, it's a biblical verse actually, but it's Psalm 23:4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So,
okay.
That's
no, that's a great quote. One word to describe your coaching style.
Intense.
Okay, same as your player. I like that.
Yeah.
You're the first one I think that's doubled up. So that's good. Best basketball coach of all time?
John Wooden.
Okay. You can only pick one book to read or recommend. What would it be? I know you had three on your slide there. You can only pick one.
It'd have to be Wooden's
book, okay.
Success Principles.
Okay. And my last question I always ask every interview is if you could, and you're old enough to, I've been talking, I had a few coaches that were like in their late 20s. So this question was a little bit harder for me to word, but if you could talk to your younger self, your younger coaching self, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself to listen more and talk less.
Amen. Done. That's yes.
My grandmother used to tell me, boy, good Lord gave you two ears and one mouth. Shut up and listen.
Yeah, I know.
It's wish true. I would have embraced that sooner.
Well, and the thing is, I think I knew more. I mean, as I get older, I feel like I know less.
Yes.
Like I've coached like 700 high school. I don't even know how many high school basketball, crazy number of high school basketball games. I feel like I've coached two. Like,
yep.
And, but when I was coaching number 100, I thought I was like ready to coach against Wooden. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's something with youth that it's like, you think you know more than you do is what one of my,
yeah, embrace the drive, but don't forget about the why.
The so. Why. All right. Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate being on.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having it. Appreciate all you're doing. Keep doing it, man.
I will put everything down in the show notes for the people too. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.